The following program, The Russ Belleville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belleville Show are their own, and The Russ Belleville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization. To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belleville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Yeah, I hear you. You had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belleville.
We love the earth.
And isn't that just like a live show? The intro starts, Russ looks like he's on the line, and the connection drops. Do we got your back, Russ?
Yeah, good day, tokers and tokettes. What a lousy time for the phone to hang up on me. It is Monday, March 24th, 2014, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome back to Dahlonega, Georgia. We're here in North Georgia doing another live show focusing on marijuana reform here in the South. This last weekend, we had the Southern Cannabis Reform Conference. Major Neil Franklin was there. I was there. Sharon Ravert was there. Lots of great folks were there. And I got to meet a new doctor, Dr. Uma Dhanabalan, and we got to be on a cable access show yesterday in Atlanta. So we'll be bringing you video from that as soon as they post it. Funny thing is, I do 5 live shows a week, and I post them every day, like 4 hours after the show. They haven't posted their show yet from Sunday. So much for us stoners being unproductive, huh? On today's show, though, we will have in hour 2, my presentation from the Southern Cannabis Reform Conference. The presentation's entitled The Results of Legalization, and I take a look at all the statistics we've gotten from Colorado and Washington State since they've legalized marijuana. Major Neil Franklin had wonderful things to say about it, said that he needs data like this, so I forwarded that stuff to the guys at LEAP, and they'll be using it in some of their presentations as well. We've got Dr. Mitch Earlywine at 1:30 in our cannabis Q&A, so you can call in live at 971-533-7111 or get into our live chat room and you can ask your questions of one of America's foremost researchers on cannabis science. We'll be talking about that study that says marijuana smokers have better cognition than non-smokers. Also on the show today, we'll go behind the headlines. There's a new study out on drug dogs that has found, surprise, they're not very accurate in traffic stops. So we'll tell you what the data show in that segment behind the headlines. Coming up right after our 420 radio news, where we have got headlines from all across the country today and right across the northern border in Canada, where a judge there has issued an injunction against ending of home grow for medical marijuana patients. And Bacon Dan will be calling in with a great classic tune from the 90s for our Roots Monday Daily Toker Tunes. Stick around.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belleville Show. The Russ Belleville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hey, tokers and tokettes, Radical Russ here to introduce you to my friend Matt and all the staff at Lush LED Lighting. Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof.
Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. If you thought LEDs were... meet the tech of today. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Let's just say I appear at a lot of events with the masters of indoor horticulture, and the harvests I saw from Lush LED lighting were big, tight, sticky, and very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Double your rewards and lower your expenses with Lush LED Lighting. Four20 Radio, freeing your mind 24 hours a day. I'm Radical Russ Belville, and I want to thank you for listening to 420 Radio. We couldn't survive without you and our sponsors, and I'd like you to check out one of our prime sponsors, the National Cannabis Coalition. I've been working with NCC since June of 2012, and I'm proud to be part of the team they have assembled. National Cannabis Coalition is building the partnerships with reformers, lawmakers, and industry we need to be successful. Visit the National Cannabis Coalition website at nationalcannabiscoalition.com or the easier-to-remember ncc420.com. That's where you'll get the exclusive first look at my radical rants, as well as informative articles from the nation's top cannabis pundits. Visit ncc420.com today, and if you have your phone handy, text Russ to 420-420 to support NCC and 420 Radio. It's a free text message that helps us help you end adult marijuana prohibition. Learn more at ncc420.com, and thanks for supporting independent marijuana legalization public radio. This is your 420 Radio News for Monday, March 24th, 2014. I'm Russ Belville. Judge declares medical marijuana prices to skyrocket under new program from leafscience.com. A federal judge has determined that the cost of medical marijuana will increase under Health Canada's new program, and that banning patients from growing at home could put their health at risk. On Friday, Judge Michael Manson granted an injunction for patients licensed under the old program, allowing them to continue growing plants at home until a full trial is heard. More than half of Health Canada's 40,000 medical marijuana patients are authorized to grow for themselves or have someone grow for them. The injunction protects residential growers from being arrested April 1st when the new program comes into full force. Health Canada says medical marijuana will cost around $5 to $12 per gram under the new program, with discounted prices as low as $3 per gram. Judge Mason determined the Health Canada's estimates were inaccurate. Quote, "The evidence shows that a price between $8 and $12 per gram will more realistically be the norm," wrote the judge. The judge sided with patients who claim that marijuana can be produced at home for a much lower cost. Quote, "I accept the evidence of the applicants that they are producing marijuana at a cost of between 50 cents and $2 per gram." Arizona court rules in favor of cannabis extracts from High Times. Arizona's Maricopa County Superior Court ruled March 21st in favor of 5-year-old Xander Welton, finding that his parents and physicians may resume treating his seizure disorder with a cannabis extract. Judge Catherine Cooper said the Arizona Medical Marijuana Act, approved by voters in 2010, allows patients to use extracts without fear of prosecution. Maricopa attorney Bill Montgomery and other Arizona law enforcement agents asserted that the medical marijuana law does not permit the use of extracts and threatened criminal charges. Judge Cooper wrote that nothing in the Medical Marijuana Act, quote, "limits the form in which patients may use medical marijuana. The act authorizes qualifying patients to use extracts, including CBD oil, prepared from the cannabis plant. It makes no sense to interpret the act as allowing people to use medical marijuana, but only if they take it in one particular form. Such an interpretation reduces, if not eliminates, medical marijuana as a treatment option for those who cannot take it in plant form or who could receive a greater benefit from an alternative form," end quote. New Jersey senator wants tax on marijuana to pay for roads, from CBS New York. A New Jersey lawmaker wants to legalize marijuana, tax it, and use the revenue to pay to fix the state's roads and bridges. State Senator Nicholas Scutari announced his plan on Monday, acknowledging that opposition from Governor Chris Christie could seriously hinder it, but pointing out, quote, "he's not going to be governor forever." Scutari, a Democrat, said allowing adults to legally buy marijuana to use recreationally would curb the drug sales-fueled crime that grips several New Jersey cities and reduce the number of people who get criminal records for pot possession. He also said regulators can ensure the safety of the pot that people buy legally. Part of his argument is also fiscal. He said more than $100 million annually if police and courts didn't have to deal with marijuana as a crime. United States Representative Ryan's foe, Kalika, used medical marijuana, from ABC News. After a white supremacist gunned down his father at a Sikh temple in 2012, U.S. congressional candidate Amar Kalika had trouble coping with his grief. Kalika, a Democrat who's mounting a long-shot bid to unseat former Republican vice presidential nominee Paul Ryan in the 2014 congressional election, said that if he is elected, he would work to make medical marijuana available nationwide. After that, he'd want to extend decriminalization to recreational marijuana as well. Quote, personally, I know that medical marijuana works, end quote, Kalika said in an interview with Associated Press. He had heard that good benefits from medical marijuana and decided to give it a shot. At first, he tried smoking medical marijuana before settling on lollipops, whose dosages were easier to manage. He'd have one or two a week and found they helped him regain his appetite and eliminated suicidal thoughts. A Marquette University poll in October found 50% of Wisconsin residents supported legalizing marijuana, while 45% opposed it. Hawaii House Committee pushes medical marijuana task force, from West Hawaii Today. A state House Health Committee passed resolutions on Friday that aim to develop a task force for the establishment of a regulated statewide medical marijuana dispensary system. The State Department of Health submitted testimony in favor of the resolutions. This has been your 420 Radio News for Monday, March 24th, 2014. I'm Russ Belville. Transcripts of 420 Radio News are available at 420radio.org. Download today. When we come back, we'll go behind the headlines and take a look at a new study on the accuracy, or lack thereof, of drug-sniffing dogs. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. We'll be right back. The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the best way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney, Omar Figueroa. Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at omarfigueroa.com. As marijuana goes mainstream, you need to be armed with the facts. Nobody can teach you better than Dr. Mitch Earlywine, PhD. You may know Dr. Mitch from his column in High Times magazine or his weekly appearance on The Russ Belville Show. Dr. Mitch is also the author of some of the best books on marijuana science, culture, history, and health, including Understanding Marijuana, Parents' Guide to Marijuana, Pot Politics, and more. Visit Amazon.com and search for Mitch Earlywine, that's E-A-R-L-E-Y-W-I-N-E, and order your books today. You can also contact Dr. Mitch by email at 420research@gmail.com.
Green Stream, starring Grandma Cat, Tim Mee, and On One from Olympia, Washington. Thursdays at noon Pacific, on 420radio.org.
Welcome back, everyone. Time for us to go behind the headlines. And for today, we're looking at the normal.org website. And our good friend Paul Armentano has a new piece up there that is entitled Drug Dogs Most Likely to Err in Traffic Stop Scenarios. It's very interesting here. Apparently, there's a new study. It's available online, and you can get the link there at normal.org. There's a study online in the journal Forensic Science International, and it was a team of researchers both in the United States and Poland who were testing the ability of drug-sniffing dogs to try to figure out the presence of various drugs, like marijuana, hashish, amphetamines, cocaine, and heroin. And not just different drugs, but also in different environments. Dogs were most likely to correctly identify the presence of contraband, particularly marijuana, during searches of individual rooms. If the dog had previous exposure to a room before the search, it was least likely to produce a false alert. If the dog was already familiar with the room, 83% of the time, it would give you an accurate reading, versus 10% of the time when it would give you a false alert. That's the best the drug dogs can do, is 10% of the time they'll say that there's drugs there when there's not drugs there. And that's in a room they've been in before. It gets worse when they tried other environments. For example, they simulated traffic stop environments for these dogs. When the dogs were allowed to go around the perimeter of the car, the cops did a little circle around the car, the animals accurately alerted to the presence of contraband only 64% of the time. So about two-thirds of the time, the drug dogs were able to accurately detect when there was drugs in the car. 15% of the time, the dogs didn't notice when there was drugs in the car. People got away with it, right? The dogs couldn't find it. And 22% of the time, the dogs would say that there was drugs in the car when there weren't. That's more than one out of five traffic stops involved with drug-sniffing dogs where they're going to give you a false positive. It got even worse if the dogs were allowed to get inside the vehicle. Sometimes the cops will pull you out of the vehicle, open the door, let the dog get inside there. In those scenarios, dogs correctly responded to the presence of contraband only 58% of the time. They provided false alerts 36% of the time. Let us review. If the dog is familiar with a room, he'll give you a false positive 1 out of 10 times. If the dog is run around your car, he'll give a false alert 1 out of 5 times. If the dog is let in your car, he'll give a false alert 1 out of 3 times. And this is the evidence, according to the decision in the Supreme Court in 2005, it was Illinois versus Caballes. In that decision, the Supreme Court agreed that if a drug dog alerts, that's all the probable cause a cop needs to initiate a search of your person or vehicle. We are giving constitutionally recognized power to violate the Fourth Amendment based on the accuracy of drug-sniffing dogs that is, as at best, 1 out of 10 false alerts, and at worst, 1 out of 3 false alerts. Now, this is something listeners to this show know because we've been covering this issue for a long time. Back in 2011, there was a study at UC Davis where they did a double-blind study with animals, the drug dogs, and their handlers to try to determine if there was a Clever Hans effect. Clever Hans was this horse that could supposedly do math, but really he was just reacting to his owner's subconscious cues. They found that drug dogs were much more likely to alert if their owner thought that there were drugs in a particular location. And this has been proved through a double-blind survey. There is a link to that as well at the normal.org blog. It's at blog.normal.org. It's Paul Armentano's latest. And speaking of Paul Armentano, he'll be our guest tomorrow on our show. We're going to talk about those CBD-only bills. He's got a great piece up at alternate.org discussing that in detail. But as far as I'm concerned, drug dogs are unconstitutional because I can't confront my accuser. What am I supposed to say? Woof, woof, woof?
right, so there we go. Sorry, folks, I'm on the Eastern time zone here. My 420 is all off, man. I don't know. It's actually 620 out here, so I'm late. I better get caught up. Enjoy yourself. Be right back with our Daily Toker Tunes and Bacon Dan.
Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Let him bring in the beat. Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, The Russ Belville Show, Ganja John, and Cascadia Concentrates, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Adam's meticulous designs are individually crafted and screened in vibrant high-definition color. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org.
Let them bring in the beat.
Support the Russ Belville Show. Text the word RUSS to 420-420 and connect with the National Cannabis Coalition. You can also send $10 to the Russ Belville Show right from your smartphone. That's RUSS to 420-420.
Here's a storm to come to my world. You crack me by the sand. Or take me by the hand and lead me up and let you hide it down.
You're listening to Radical Russ on the Russ Belville Show.
There is a peaceful solution called a peace revolution. And now let's take back America.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Like millions of freedom-loving Americans, I'm a marijuana smoker, and I don't think that that should be any of the government's business. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana. The next time you light up, take the time to let your elected officials know how you feel. It's time we legalize marijuana and stop treating marijuana smokers like criminals. For more information on how you can help legalize marijuana, please contact Normal at NORML.org.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Roots Monday, featuring the blues, country, folk, and jazz music that birthed the modern sounds we enjoy today. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
All right, welcome back, everybody. 23 and a half after the hour, and we're joined by Bacon Dan on the telephone. How you doing, Dan?
I'm doing very good, Ross. How are you doing back in my old time zone?
Well, I'll tell you what. The fact that I didn't wake up in the Fulton County Jail facing felony charges on Sunday morning, that's a good sign. That's really good.
I'm very glad to hear that.
Yeah. We'll talk more about that in hour two. So I understand you're getting a lot of sunshine out there, and that's the inspiration for today's song?
It truly is. It is a very high, pun intended, 60s here in Portland. There are no clouds. There's no rain. It's all sunshine.
Wow. Yeah. Loving it. Loving the spring tease that we get there. I guess spring has sprung in Portland, Oregon, and looking forward to getting back there and meeting up with all the folks and having ourselves a good time. We'll be back in Portland on Friday for the show. We're also going to be having Herb Thrasher Flower Hour, a special edition on Friday night. Unfortunately, we have to do another tribute to Gwar because Gwar's frontman was found dead today. So
We'll be doing that on Friday. And then Saturday and Sunday, Brian the Red and I are going to get on a train and head down to Eugene, Oregon, where I'm presenting at a business conference, medical marijuana business conference there in Eugene. All right. So, Dan, let's give you the song here. Tell us all about the group and the song, and let's take it away.
All right. This is Blind Melon with No Rain. This is one of the most famous songs by them to come out of the early 90s. Actually, it was considered one of the greatest alternative songs of the 90s, second only to Seattle's own Nirvana with Smells Like Teen Spirit. This is just a great song. It's hot. It's, well, not hot out, but it's warm out. It's sunny. Get outside. Smoke. Have fun. Smell the flowers. And enjoy the fact that there is no rain.
All right. Kick it off, Brian. This is No Rain. Blind Melon.
Support the Russ Belville Show. Text the word RUSS to 420-420 and connect with the National Cannabis Coalition. You can also send $10 to the Russ Belville Show right from your smartphone. That's RUSS to 420-420. You're listening to Radical Russ on the Russ Belville Show.
Well, I'll say a little recalling. Darling, your words too fail.
gonna lay.
New Approach Oregon is a coalition of Oregon citizens who believe that treating marijuana use as a crime has failed, costing taxpayers millions in law enforcement resources. We believe it's time for a new approach on marijuana, and that Oregonians deserve a chance to decide in the 2014 general election. Our approach will regulate, tax, and legalize marijuana for adults in Oregon. By implementing a strict system to regulate, tax, and legalize marijuana, we can move Oregon forward and create new revenue for critical services. Under our approach for 2014, 40% of funds would support K-12 education, 20% would support mental health and treatment services, and 15% would be dedicated to law enforcement. Public opinion, coupled with victories in Washington and Colorado, confirms marijuana legalization is inevitable. Visit our website at newapproachoregon.com or our page on Facebook at New Approach Oregon. Thank you.
Fun, fun.
Oh, hello, I'm Big Daddy, and I want you to join me at the Funky Roller Rink. We're partying hard over here, baby, so stop on by, check out the funky grooves, and shake your booty too.
Don't get in a two-seat, brother, don't get in a two-seat, don't get so you can move a bottle whenever you get ready.
It's time for the Russ Belville Show's Cannabis Q&A with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and a leading author and researcher on cannabinoids and health, who pens the Ask Dr. Mitch column for High Times magazine. Get your questions ready in our live chat or call in to 971-533-7111 now.
All right, everybody, it's Monday, time for our dose of cannabis science, and Dr. Mitch, I'm out here on the Eastern time zone with you. How are you doing?
It's been a crazy day, but I'm happy to be on the show.
Glad to have you here. I'm calling you live from Dahlonega, Georgia, so both out here on the East Coast, watching the sunset begin to happen. Starting to get a little dark out here, and it's a little cool down here in Georgia as well. But we have all sorts of great topics to talk with Dr. Mitch about, and we'll also take your questions in our chat room. Just log in there. Just type /login and create your username and account. Or you can call live the old-fashioned way at 971-533-7111. But we always open up by letting Dr. Mitch have the first word to tell us what is the latest in cannabis science.
You did such a stellar job on that dog study. I'm not even going to get into it. I want to compliment you, Russ. You've become such the great consumer of research over the years. It's really just delightful to listen to you.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you so much. It's just... beyond even the science of it, though, I think there's just this justice aspect to the use of drug dogs where, you know, our Sixth Amendment to the Constitution gives us the right to confront our accusers, and I just can't think of how I'm supposed to confront a drug dog. I still haven't figured out how to speak dog yet.
Well, they're actually pretty good on the witness stand, but it's never going well in our favor.
We do
have a good new thing in Journal of Policy Analysis and Management I wanted to mention for folks who might be interested.
Okay.
A lot of times we hear folks say that there have been increases in cannabis use since medical establishments have opened up in California, and I really like this new paper that's come out basically showing that really the increase in use was from 2009 to 2011 in the high school students in Los Angeles. And, of course, you know, medical marijuana had been around for over a decade by then, so I feel like it's always been kind of a lame argument. But, in fact, these new researchers basically looked at data from Boston, Dallas, and Chicago, and also found that high school students increased their marijuana use from 2009 to 2011 in those cities where clearly there wasn't a medical marijuana dispensary within hundreds of miles. So I feel like that's a nice way to point out that any increases we've seen in Los Angeles or in California have been comparable across the United States and can't really be blamed on any kind of medical marijuana laws.
So what could be blamed, if we're going to call it blame? I mean, why do the teen rates rise both in medical cities and non-medical cities like that?
And what's curious is every time we try to point a finger at media or changes in attitudes or things like that,
I just keep looking a little further back and a little further back, and in fact, the variation, even since the 1970s, has always been a little bit up, a little bit down, depending upon things that we really can't even predict, and I think part of it is measurement and just who's willing to fess up to using cannabis in some of these surveys, and as attitudes have changed, a lot of folks are less willing to lie and more willing to say, yeah, I have used cannabis, even high school students, and I think as the years go by, we're going to see some of that, and that's really the issue, not any kind of crazy increase in use so much as an intriguing increase in a willingness to say that you have used.
You know, we reported on that RAND study showing the increase in marijuana users and marijuana use and a decrease in cocaine use in America, but that only ran up through 2010. Was there anything to see any continuation of that from 09 to 11 when the marijuana use was continuing to go up? Did the cocaine use continue to go down, or is it too soon to tell?
As it turns out, we don't have those data yet, but the ONDCP, the National Drug Control Policy, is supposed to release those data relatively soon. It's intriguing because we're always a couple of years behind on this, and that's, of course, difficult then to make big, quick policy decisions, but I'm optimistic. And boy, anytime I hear that cocaine use is down, especially among high school students, I have to rejoice.
Yeah. And that, you know, starts to get into this this concept of a substitution effect that might happen if there's greater access to cannabis. There might be a substitution effect there. I'm wondering how much do we know about that? And I'm also wondering if that turns out to be true, there are states now that are considering raising their tobacco age to 21. Perhaps maybe a marijuana age ought to be 18 so that kids try that rather than alcohol and smokes.
Well, it's curious because we definitely have some evidence that alcohol consumption decreases when medical marijuana laws are loosened up. And then the links between alcohol and some violent crime is certainly high. We had those data come out in 2012 suggesting that suicide rates tend to drop by as much as 5%, at least in men, when cannabis laws loosen up. So again, we've got an intriguing potential mechanism where if people are smoking cannabis instead of drinking alcohol, they're less likely to do violence to themselves and to others. So there's something we'd certainly like to see.
Oh, absolutely. All right, we're speaking with Dr. Mitch Earlywine in our cannabis Q&A, and if you've got a question, just get it typed up in our chat room, and our moderators will forward it to me. We can ask Dr. Mitch right away. There was a study that came out, and I was going to ask you about it last week, and this would be a good time to ask about it. The study that's gone around quite a bit, saying that the headlines I read say medical or marijuana users have better cognition than non-users. Can you give us a rundown of that study and how accurate that headline might be?
It's curious because I was stunned that they actually picked that. The study had some problems, but basically looked at 35 folks who've been using since before age 17, and I think that that's a critical issue there, is that they're getting folks who had started young, and there were some differences across them and folks who had never used cannabis, but there were some confounds in that the cannabis group had also used a lot more alcohol, and there were a couple of areas where it looked like folks were doing better if they'd been using cannabis, and a couple areas where they had looked like they had been doing worse. I went to the original study, and there are actually 48 statistical tests here. They broke every single test down, scored it a bazillion ways, and things like that. So I don't want to make too much of this, in part because we'd expect some of these just by chance. But it does look like cannabis has some enhancing or at least protective effects against alcohol abuse, as we've seen in some other data before. And there are a couple of domains where folks who had used cannabis were actually doing worse. But I want to emphasize that two studies that have come out of my lab suggest that, in part, if you go into a lab and you're a cannabis user and you know they're sort of down on cannabis and they're giving you neuropsych tests, the anxiety of that can sometimes make you perform worse. And my student, Raina Macher, has just published a paper basically showing that if you say something as simple as, hey, marijuana users, please do a good job on this, it's going to help with the reform movement, suddenly they do a whole lot better. So if you are asked to do a neuropsych test and you're on our side, by all means, do your very best.
There you go. We have a question from our chat room. Dolink is asking about use of cannabis for treatment of MSA, that's multiple system atrophy, a degenerative neurodisease.
It's curious because we don't have data on that disorder in particular. Some of the new cannabidiol data on Parkinson's, though, may generalize. And there was a time when we thought sort of neurodegenerative stuff just wasn't going to respond. But we do see some neuroprotective effects of a couple of different cannabinoids. And I think it's probably worth, going with mainstream medicine on the treatment, but also seeing if supplementing with medical cannabis might be a plus for this. Generally, with atrophy that's associated with just muscle loss and things like that, we do see improved appetite and things like that can kind of work through that mechanism, but we don't have data on MSA itself.
Okay. And folks, I want to remind you, too, that if you want to be more private about your questions and maybe get a more detailed answer, you can always email your questions to Dr. Mitch at 420research@gmail.com. That's 420research@gmail.com. And from time to time, Dr. Mitch is involved in all sorts of studies of marijuana and marijuana users. Anything coming soon that people might be able to sign up for?
It's intriguing. We're trying to get some more data on cannabis and PTSD, and the Institutional Review Board here, our ethics crew, is looking at that study right now. I'll probably have something posted on Craigslist in a number of large cities, and I'd be really delighted to be able to announce that. I'm just waiting on the ethics guys.
All right. Looking forward to that. Also, on the legal front, I saw the posting for registration for the Normal Legal Seminar taking place in Aspen, Colorado. You can register there at normal.org/conference, I believe would be one way to find it. But just go to the main Normal site. And anything to tell us about the upcoming seminar?
It's an intriguing look. It really is focused on lawyers and attorneys who are interested in trying to defend folks throughout the United States, and looking at basically some of the input from the Normal Legal Committee. These are folks who've literally been defending cannabis cases since before you and I were really out of diapers, Russ. So, I mean, it's delightful to see this. And what's fun is participants are going to have a chance to go to a nice benefit party and even hang out on Hunter S. Thompson's old owl farm, which I think was a neat kind of story to be able to tell the grandkids years and years from now. And that'll be May 29th through 31st.
Yeah, May 29th through 31st, end of May, the Memorial Day weekend, I suppose. And it's worth the price of the conference to just go to Owl Farm. And beyond that, you're going to learn so much at this thing. It's just amazing. So check that out if you can, normal.org for the information. And finally, before we go, in my next segment, I'm going to be talking about the troubles they had here in Georgia trying to pass one of these CBD bills. Utah just passed one of these CBD bills. What is Normal's position on these CBD bills and how they're progressing?
This is not our first hope, shall we say, for what would pass for medical cannabis laws. These really are not what we had in mind. Obviously, the high CBD oils are having a wonderful impact on children with seizure disorders. But cannabidiol alone can't do all the things that cannabis can. With the other cannabinoids involved, we've got much better impact on appetite loss, nausea, weight loss, problems related to cancer, chemotherapy, and the high CBD oil just can't handle that in the same way. Nevertheless, I'm always delighted to hear that anything passes that's going to help children. This issue in Georgia, I mean, I feel like it's just unconscionable to put these laws aside when there's a chance to help the sickest of the sick.
Yeah, and we've got some breaking news on that we're going to get to in the next segment as well. The governor has weighed in on the medical marijuana issue. And to me, it's a victory when you get the governor of a southern state even saying the word marijuana. We're making some progress.
Oh, I agree wholeheartedly, Russ.
All right. Well, Dr. Mitch Earlywine joins us every Monday here for our Cannabis Q&A segment. And Dr. Mitch is also the newly elected chair of the Normal Board of Directors. You can visit the Normal website at normal.org. Thanks, Dr. Mitch, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks so much, Russ.
All right. When we come back, we're going to have time for a radical rant. We're going to tell you the story of how Georgia's CBD bill got blocked by one senator and the incredible irony in her blocking that bill. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. Big thanks to Brian the Red, keeping things running back there at Rolla J Studios.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors.
Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
This is Radical Russ encouraging you to take a look at the Weed Blog every day. Johnny Green and the staff at the Weed Blog are on top of all the latest developments in the fight to end marijuana prohibition nationwide. You can even get the Weed Blog on your smartphone by installing the Weed Blog app for iPhone and Android. If it's about weed, it's on the Weed Blog, including my original writing. So don't delay. Read the Weed Blog today. 420 Radio, your ticket to Seattle Hemp Fest.
All the kids in school said I should try it. They said I'd probably like it. And here I was, making the biggest decision of my life.
Bobby. What's up, dude? You ready to smoke some fucking weed?
Fuck yeah, man.
Oh, fuck yeah, man. That's fucking shit, man. Take a hit. Oh, man, it feels so good. Fuck yeah, man. Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah.
Weed makes you gay.
Brought to you by your local Drug and Health Council.
The Russ Belville Show. Chat is for friends 18 and older. We expect our chat to be civil, mature, and free from excessive profanity. If you don't like these rules, there are approximately 6 billion other chat rooms with lower standards that you can visit.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
All right, folks. Today we get to tell you the story of how one state senator killed Georgia's CBD bill. Now, put aside for a moment all the flaws with these bills that we've been talking about that legalize only the possession of high CBD, low THC marijuana extracts. I mean, knowing the truth about cannabis like you and I do, we know that the whole plant in its natural form works better than any of the individual or combination of its extracts. And it kind of makes us cringe when we hear these legislators talking about CBD-only legislation. Of course, you know, the bigger picture, knowing that we know the prohibition of marijuana is unjust and cruel, we'd be just voting for whole plant legalization for all people, regardless of health condition, so any patient who needed it could get it. But let's put all that aside for a moment and talk about Georgia. And really, this talk is familiar enough that it would apply to Alabama, Utah, Kentucky, South Carolina, lots of states out there that are wonderful states, but they're just not quite as educated about cannabis. And they're also considering the CBD-only legislation. But since I've spent a couple of weeks here in Georgia, we're going to talk specifically about Georgia. Now, the Georgia CBD bill, this is a state, you know, you got to realize, where the acceptance of cannabis is still very, very low. Maybe if you're in Atlanta, you're in Fulton County, things might be a little different. If it's the college police instead of the state police or sheriff, things may be a bit different. Talk about that in hour two. But if you're outside of the cities, you're out in the rural areas, this is how the cops pay the bills, is through busting kids, getting their tickets, getting their fines, seizing their stuff. So it's serious out there. And we're talking for grams or a seed. You know, people do serious, serious jail time. I mean, the house I'm sitting at here was raided by cops going after a gram and a half of pot. Got to throw a teenage girl in prison for 10 years for a gram and a half. They're not playing games here. So when I started visiting here about 3 years ago, doing demonstrations at the Capitol building, you know, you'd see these guys in their suits walking by, kind of Look at those guys, the stoners over there. The stoners, right? I mean, it got a lot of derision when we first started doing this. Well, now, just 3 years later, those same activists are registered lobbyists. And when they walk in, the people know them by name. They know them by first name. And they're actually getting meetings and sitting down with these legislators who are ready to talk about medical marijuana, who are considering decriminalization. And even if legalization's a little too far off for most of them right now, it's still not something that's going to get you laughed out of the building at this point. So the CBD-only bill that they were proposing with this legislature, it was, I mean, from our practical perspective, it was kind of a cruel joke. Only epileptic patients could get covered, and they'd have to fly to Colorado, and they'd have to live there for a month to get residency so that they could then qualify for a doctor to sign a recommendation for a medical marijuana card. They have to buy the medical marijuana card, then get high CBD oil at one of the dispensaries, and then break Colorado law and the Denver airport regulations by bringing it into the airport and leaving the state with it, and then break federal drug trafficking laws by crossing state lines. But then once they got back to Georgia, then we won't prosecute them. Well, geez, if these people wanted to break laws, they'd be doing that now. What's one little Georgia law? If you've already broken a Colorado and a federal law, why not just break a Georgia law too? So the bill, from a practical perspective, didn't make a whole lot of sense. But from a political perspective, this thing was a miracle. I mean, lawmakers in Georgia feel they have to be so anti-marijuana that they have to go to the lengths to incentivize their sickest citizens to break state and federal laws, and then only for the stuff that doesn't get you high, right? But there they were on the final day of the legislature trying to pass something that advanced the idea that marijuana is medicine. And no matter how small that advance is or how impractical it is, it's still an important step. There they were just an hour before midnight with the Senate having passed the bill unanimously. And the House, there was only 4 no votes. Then along comes Senator Renee Unterman. For 5 years now, she's been pursuing this bill to mandate insurance coverage for kids with autism. Yeah, that's not necessarily a bad thing, right? But her bill never gets anywhere. It never advances. It's not popular at all. Can't get it out of a committee. So, seeing the popularity of the medical marijuana measure, she attached her pet cause as an amendment to the Senate version. The House, in no uncertain terms, would not pass the medical marijuana bill with the autism amendment. And the Senate couldn't get Senator Unterman to withdraw the amendment. She even proudly boasted in the newspaper that she was, quote, holding the bill hostage, end quote. You don't get CBD oil for your sick kids until I get money for my autism kids. Sick. And just consider the irony of that. The tiniest amount of progress to be made helping kids with epilepsy using a form of medical marijuana was obstructed by one senator who wanted to help kids with autism, many of whom would be helped by forms of medical marijuana. And imagine the irony of a state where the legislature has gone round after round after round criticizing Obamacare, and yet some of them were upset that we'd be breaking a federal law considering marijuana decrim. One of the guys, was it McCune, I think his name was, said, if you've been talking about thumbing our nose at the federal government, we did that just last Tuesday with Obamacare. So, you know, get things straight. Are you for states' rights, Georgia, or are you not for states' rights? So, welcome to Georgia. That's the way things are going here. But we just had a breaking piece of news that happened literally as I was getting ready for the show here earlier today from the governor, Nathan Deal, who actually walked by us when we were walking to the Capitol. I was walking with Dean and Kelly, and I was busy taping something. I had my camera out, and I'm walking by, and this group of guys in suits walked by, and afterward, Dean goes, hey, do you know who that was just walked by and everything? That was Governor Nathan Deal. I'm like, oh, damn, I didn't have the camera pointed the right way. But anyway, Nathan Deal, the governor of Georgia, who's no friend to marijuana whatsoever. I mean, not at all. Here's the quote, and this is from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, and it was just on the Channel 11 news as well. There was a piece that just came up. Nathan Deal, Georgia, quote, needs to address medical marijuana fix. In 3 years, these activists have gotten it to the point where the governor is talking to the media and promoting the idea of fixing medical marijuana. According to the story, Governor Nathan Deal says he's exploring an executive order or other steps that could loosen the restrictions on marijuana used for medical purposes until legislators return to Atlanta next year. Medical marijuana, quote, is on my radar screen. He also said, quote, all of us were moved by the families and the children that were involved with the medical marijuana bill. And I certainly think that all of us want to try to figure out if there's something we can do to provide them with the kind of assistance they need. I will be talking with all of our state agencies who have any kind of involvement in dealing with that issue to see if there is something we can do to make this treatment possible, assuming that the proper foundation of law enforcement, security, and medical protections are attached, end quote. Folks, this means we've gone from New Jersey Republican Governor Chris Christie, who says, I'm not going to expand medical marijuana, not on my watch, by God, it's never going to happen. And he's considered kind of a moderate Republican. To a guy like Nathan Deal in Georgia saying, oh, yes, we need to move forward with this. We need to fix this. We need to do something. Folks, that's the tide turning. I don't know if you know that's the symbol of the tide turning. But when the governor of Georgia is promoting fixing medical marijuana, that's big. Now, here's why. Here's why, folks. It's because these guys are afraid of losing their jobs. Medical marijuana now is polling at anywhere between 70 and 85% nationwide in most states. Here in Georgia, it's probably in the high 60s. I haven't seen the latest, but it's up there. And they're recognizing that even the old folks that they depend on for votes, because they're, you know, old folks are the ones who vote the most. Even the old folks, the support for medical marijuana is in the 60s and the 70s. So this is from the Journal Constitution again. It says, in the backdrop are concerns from Republicans that the refusal to pass the measure will hurt the GOP in November. Republican State Senator Fran Miller angrily declared, quote, we did nothing for kids, but we passed a gun bill, end quote. Oh, by the way, that gun bill, it was a bill to allow people to carry guns in church and to be able to take guns on college campuses. Well, they managed to figure that one out. They got people to work together on that. But, you know, kids with epilepsy. One senator. Democrat Jason Carter, who is the grandson of former governor and U.S. President Jimmy Carter, he's the nominee for the governor's job, so could have another Governor Carter, wonderful, that would be great, said the failures and infighting were the result of, quote, visionless leadership, end quote. So this is becoming an issue where even Republicans in the South are beginning to recognize their jobs depend on not looking like cruel bastards when it comes to the children of their state. Now, I know the CBD stuff is fraught with perils, and my friends back on the West Coast, some of us are even to the point of, no, we've got to oppose these CBD bills. Come out here to Georgia for a couple weeks. Spend some time out here and learn the political realities that are being dealt with out here, and recognize that even CBD, even if it turns out to be something that's completely impractical and can never work, does accomplish one thing. It gets these guys on the record as supporting the idea that marijuana is medicine and that some people can use it without repercussions and we can let it happen and it's not the worst thing in the world. When those things happen, we've opened the door just a crack, and now we can start saying, hey, you support those kids with CBD, but guess what? Here's this Jaden James from California, whose dad treated his autism with a high CBD oil and found later out that it worked better as he increased the THC percentage just a little bit. Then they'll have to open up to all the vets that are coming home with post-traumatic stress and all the research that shows that they would benefit not from the CBD, but from the THC. And all those cancer patients who need THC for their appetite, and AIDS patients who need it for their appetite, once that door's open, they can't close it. The genie's not back at the bottom. We are talking about it, and that means we're winning. Thanks, folks. That's all the time we got for hour one. Stay tuned for hour two and learn how I stayed out of Fulton County Jail this weekend. Right here at the 420 Radio, I'm Radical Wrestling. Until next time.
Take care of each other, Jokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show.
The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes.